ago of a little 7-year-old girl, Carly Haymond. It was in Springville. She's in the vehicle with her family. It's taking a legal turn. And, well, listen, her mother's on the phone, Shireen Haymond. Ma'am, I appreciate you calling us. How are you doing?
Hi.
Did I say your name correctly?
Yes, Shireen.
Could you tell us what happened and back then and most recently, please?
Well, back then we were, Carly was trick-or-treating and started snowing, so someone told us we could trick-or-treat at University Mall, so we loaded up the kids and were driving north to University Mall, and a man who was high on Oxycontin ran a red light and hit our van, and Carly had massive internal head injuries and passed away about 28 hours later at Primary Children's Hospital.
What's become of this man in the course?
It's so shocking to me because it has been 2 years and it's just been passed from one prosecutor to another, and just like last week it was supposed to go to trial, and instead the prosecutor's office, knowing that the family was devastated and in shock and against it, worked out a plea with him where they dropped everything from I think 3 felony charges to the lowest charges you can imagine. Almost what a person caught with drugs would get is what this man got for killing my daughter.
This is Utah County District Attorney's Office under Kay Bryson.
I don't know him, but.
Yeah. Did prosecutors meet with your family or work with your family? What was the contact between prosecutors and your family in these last 2 years, ma'am?
Very, very little contact. In fact, the first time that the prosecutor sat down with me in person was about a week before it went to trial, just for a short, just a few minutes to hear my story, and then sent me on my way. Told me I would be on the stand for like a day and a half, but didn't spend any time even preparing me at all, and just very little contact. In fact, I didn't even know that there was people to help out victims until yesterday, after it was in the newspaper. Someone told me, "Did you know that there's places victims can go?" I just felt very alone.
The district attorney's office typically puts you in contact with its own victims assistance office. Did that happen at all?
No, I've never talked to any victims groups at all.
There's money the state puts aside to help with, say, in this instance, funeral and transportation expenses. Were you ever told about that?
No, I've never heard that at all. In fact, it was very hard for me to have to take off work to go to the what I thought was supposed to be a trial, but they ended up pleading out of it, and I just had no idea. I honestly, you know, I don't know much about how the system works, but I do know one thing, and that is that it does not matter what victims feel and say. It just simply does not matter in Utah County.
When were you told, ma'am, that there was a plea deal and that there would be no trial?
The first time they told us, I believe, was on Friday. It was supposed to start on Monday, and they told us, and I think they mentioned it on Thursday, and I was just up in arms. You've got to be kidding, no way. And by the time Friday rolled around, the end of the day, they pretty much said, you know, we hear you, we understand you're hurting, this is what we're doing, period.
So you told them Friday that you did not agree to this plea bargain, and they told you what?
They just said, you know, we're sorry you feel that way, but the prosecutor's office, actually, the young prosecutor who was handling the case, very nice man named Chad, but he's never handled a case with a death, and nothing of this magnitude. He was just handed it as the third person to get the case, and he actually said to me, "Shireen, we are overloaded in the county's office." I will never forget his words. He said, "We have like 500 cases each on our desks." And I remember thinking, as a mother, so? You know, I didn't say anything, but in my heart I was just screaming out, so? This is my daughter. I don't care if you have tons of other cases. This is my case. It's my turn. You know, and he said things like, you know, we'd rather this not go to trial. We'd have to fly in the the state patrol trooper from Ohio who had been following this drunk man. He even said, Shireen, you know, it's been 2 years. We really thought by now you'd just get on with your life. You'd just forget about it. And I said, or he didn't say forget about it. He just said, we just thought you'd get on with your life and not want to have to relive it. And I remember thinking to myself, the only reason it's been 2 years is because your office has passed this from person to person to person. This has nothing to do with me that it's been so long. I was, to be honest, so in shock, I was speechless. And I'm just still...
What would be the purpose or benefit of we're speaking with Shireen Hammond, who his 7-year-old daughter, Carly, was killed almost exactly 2 years ago. There was a plea agreement with which she's very dissatisfied and which was reached against her wishes just, I guess, Monday. What would be the benefit of a trial?
Well, several. First of all, I think this man who was cited with the DUI and killed my daughter on Halloween night needs to know the pain and anguish that he caused. He's still out partying and drinking and not sorry. I've never even heard one word of apology from this man. And I would like him to hear firsthand from all the witnesses who watched him run that red light. And I'd like to see him to see the tears of my children and myself and to know the agony that he caused us. And then, you know, I am not out to destroy someone's life. That's the last thing I want. One life's already been taken. However, I believe in appropriate consequences, and I think this man has learned nothing, and I believe that he needs to suffer the consequences for killing a child, or he will kill another one.
The sentencing guidelines of the charged offenses were 5 to 15 years in prison potentially. Now it's 1 to 5 years potentially, and it's conceivable that he could get no jail time whatsoever.
That's the most shocking thing about it all, is that there is a very high likelihood, especially because the prosecutor's office doesn't plan to really fight for prison time, that this man will never even spend one night in jail, that he will just be on probation and go through the process. And now that I know how the prosecutor's office works, I'm not real comfortable with how these processes work, that he will spend not a day. And yeah, it's shocking to me that it was pleaded down so much to where it's pretty much amounted to a slap on the wrist.
This happened in Springville. How did the police deal with you? What was your experience in that regard, ma'am?
Very kind, very good to us. I don't know yet, because of course it didn't go to trial, how good the police work was done as far as investigating, but I'm assuming that they did an excellent, superb job and have been very supportive of our family. In fact, I remember the main police officer actually stood by my side at the hospital while I was watching my daughter die, and you know, far above and beyond the regular duties of a police officer, he really took our family as a personal case, I believe. Wonderful man.
Beyond emotion and the loss of your 7-year-old daughter, what's been the impact, say financial, of all this on your family?
Devastating, absolutely devastating. In fact, since the accident, I'm a single mom and I don't have money. I work full time, have 3 other children. I've been living in my parents' basement for 2 years, and at my age, that's hard on the self-esteem. There just was no other way. My car that was lost in the accident, I used that money to help pay for funeral expenses, so have been driving my grandmother's old 1976 Oldsmobile Cutlass, so it gets me to and from work, but can't drive me to Salt Lake. It probably wouldn't make it. And, you know, and then, you know, I hate to even say this, because compared to my daughter being gone, it's minuscule, but I need rotator cuff surgery on my right arm. I can't even hold a purse with that arm. I can't sleep on my right side.
From the accident?
Can't afford it.
Was this an injury from the accident?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the only injury. You know, when you lose a child, you wish that, of course, you were the one gone and your child was still happy and enjoying life.
On the issue of your vehicle was totaled,
yep.
The insurance money to replace that you had to use to bury your daughter. And again, the Utah County District Attorney's Office did not inform you, as is its duty, that state victims assistance fund money was available for that purpose.
Oh no, I've never heard that until right now. Actually, I'm shocked. For her headstone, we ran out of money, and a man in my ward, I'm LDS, a man in my ward actually was kind enough to help us pay for Carly's headstone because there just simply wasn't enough to go around.
Well, the actual sentencing is when, ma'am?
The sentencing is on December 12th, and that's when I hope the judge will listen, because up until now, she certainly hasn't.
Will there be an opportunity for you to make a victim impact statement?
Yes, that's when I will get to say how much this has hurt and devastated our family, thank goodness.
Is there any, of course, this man was, 19 at the time or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Does he have any assets? Can you sue him?
No, I don't think his parents are very wealthy, but because he was 19, we can't ask them to help our family. We were going to, at the very first, ask if the family could help our family with funeral expenses because we were aware that they were so wealthy, but since he was an adult, 19, they're not responsible for him, and he wasn't even on their insurance. So, nowhere to turn. We pretty much lost our daughter, lost everything we had financially, and now we're just trying to get by the best we can.
Mm. Well, ma'am, I'm very sorry for this, and I'm
especially
disappointed.
Very kind.
Well, I'm particularly disappointed that the district attorney's office didn't serve you better.
Me too.
So, what are you going to do now? Where do you go from here? How do you pick up, and how do you go forward in a positive way?
You know, right now, I have three other children watching my every move, and so every morning I glue a smile on my face and I put my arms around them and tell them everything's going to be all right.
Right.
And then every night after they go to bed, that's when I cry so that they don't see, because they need to know that life is good.
Right. You are a true mother. If you let bitterness, you know, show on your face,
yep.
Then there start being more victims to this than there already are.
Yeah, and it makes you an ugly person. I never wanted to be a person and so wrapped up in anger and bitterness that I become just ugly when I talk about it. So I just try to talk about Carly and what a precious, precious little girl she was and the blessings that we still have to have each other and her memory.
Exactly. You're an angel mother. I'm proud of you, and I'll sure keep you in my prayers, ma'am.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it.
Nice talking to you. Let's keep in touch on this to find out where things go.
Very well. I'll keep you in touch.
Thank you. God bless you. That's Shireen Haymond, speaking about the death of her daughter, 7-year-old Carly, and subsequent treatment by the criminal justice system. It's 8:49. Program continues on your Family Values Radio Station, KNRS AM 57.